You're listening to Australia's fastest growing podcast network. This is the Lifestyle Pod Network. You're listening to The Dream Show with Jane Theresa Anderson.
Welcome to The Dream Show. I'm Jane Theresa Anderson, and this is episode 163. And our guest today is Vashti. Now, Vashti, I should say before we begin that we've just recorded the segment with Vashti. We're adding this bit to the beginning. And as you know, the formula for this show is when you volunteer to be a guest on the show, we organise the recording. But I always say, don't tell me anything about your dream until we start recording. So you'll hear me, you'll be listening to Vashti's dream at the same time as you'll hear me listening to it, and we take it from there. And Vashti, just before she started a dream, she said, you know, this is a dream that it shocked me because it's so unlike my waking life. It's so unlike me in my waking life. It was shocking. It was gross, she said. Now, there's an exciting introduction to a dream. I'm sure you're all ears now. It's actually a stunningly interesting dream. It is a little bit gross, but it's also very colourful and very exciting. And as we talk about the dream and interpret it and explore it, we work out how it does indeed relate to Vashti's life, but not in a gross and horrible way, and actually in a very informative and helpful way. That really helps Vashti move forward with the things that she wants to move forward with. So apart from giving you the website addresses, which I'm just going to do, I'm going to hand you over so that you can enjoy the listen. The website addresses, probably the best one to go to these days is just to go straight to my blog, which is janetheresa.com. That's Theresa without an H. Or you can go to the Dream Store, which is janetheresaanderson.com, or find me on Facebook. Okay, here's Vashti. Welcome to the Dream Show, Vashti. How are you this morning?
I'm very well, thank you. And you, Jane?
Yes, I'm really well too. We had storms yesterday, didn't we? You live in Brisbane too. We had storms, and the sun has come out, and everything's just beginning to clean up and look wonderful, and all ready to shine on your dream, whatever it is that you've brought to us. How are you post storm?
Well, everything is really sparkly in the garden, so I love that.
Okay, you sound beautifully sparkly too. Go, tell us your dream.
Well, the reason I picked these dreams is because shocking and unlike my other dreams that I usually have, and some bits are quite gross, and so I thought, oh, I really have to talk about this.
That's a little warning for everyone listening in, isn't it?
And it's not like me in my waking life, so therefore I was really shocked by them. They were kind of a bit scary in some ways.
Yes.
So I'll just take my book out where I wrote the information down. So the first one was I was in a shopping centre, you know, parents' room, and I was there with a baby, and I turned away for a minute, and someone put the baby in the toilet in the parents' room and, like, filled up the toilet bowl with toilet paper and just stuck the baby on top.
Oh.
And so it was really quite disgusting. And then I got the baby out, and then it seemed like a few times it sort of was on repeat. Like, I got the baby out and was like, oh, you know, there with it. And then I'd turn away, and then the baby was back in the toilet.
Yes.
And then in the next stage, like, this sort of stopped happening, and then in the next stage I was knew I was going into a forest, and I had like an idol or a figure with me, and it was like the pagan god Pan, you know, with the horned gods, and I knew I was going into the forest to complete some sort of pagan ritual with blood and sort of nature.
Yes.
And it was quite sort of confronting in that way. And then that sort of ended, and then the next stage was I was dreaming I was in the bed I was actually sleeping in, and there was a snake on the bed, and it was holding me down, like, across my chest, and it's like I couldn't move or couldn't yell out, and I was trying to wake up. And so when I actually woke up, I literally thought there was a snake on the bed. Started freaking out that there was a snake in the room. And yeah, it sort of took me a few moments to realise that there, in fact, was not a snake. And I was, you know, safe in bed, you know, in the middle of the night.
Oh, you said that's brilliant. I love it. You said dreams. So is that all what... Is that like the different parts you've just given me, or did you have another dream that you wanted to add in there?
No.
That's great.
They're sort of like they seem to flow on together.
Yes.
And so I thought they're sort of like dreams, but sort of three in one.
Yeah. No, they do. They do flow on together. That's beautiful. Gross. Yes. Huh. doesn't get any more gross though. That's good. Some questions as usual, Vashti. Mm-hmm. First of all, when was the dream?
I think it was about 3 weeks ago, I think, was the dream, yeah.
Okay, that's lovely. Mm-hmm. So as we go through, you probably are aware of this, but just for our listeners, that the dream always reflects the conscious and unconscious experiences of the last 1 to 2 days. So as we go through this dream, Vashti, we'll be looking at what was happening for you the couple of days before this dream, so about 3.5 weeks ago, if you can think about that far. A question about the end bit first, just for me to clarify. You said that last bit about you were dreaming that you were in your bed with a snake across your chest.
Mm-hmm.
Do you mean that you were a little bit lucid there? Were you aware that you were actually in your bed, or was the dream just happened to be a bed and it happened to be in your own house? Did you know that you were dreaming?
Well... I wasn't sure, and I've had this experience before where I had it once in a nightmare when I was quite young, is that everything seemed to be the room as it was, like there was no strange details in the room. Mm. It was as if I was in the room, not dreaming, but then it's like I couldn't move, and I had done a bit of research about the fact that your body... your brain like produces chemicals to keep you still while you're dreaming so you don't sleepwalk or act out your dreams.
Yes.
And when it happened, since the first time this happened, I'd sort of been interested and done a bit of research and figured, oh, well, that must have been what it was. Like I was literally, you know, trapped and trying to speak and trying to move, but I was getting, you know, anxious because I couldn't. But it was because, and then you know, as soon as those few moments, you know, they feel like an eternity, but they're probably literally only a few moments and you're able to wake up.
Yes.
And it's kind of like it takes you a while in this, for me, takes me a while to realise, because I'm waking up to the dream exactly as it was. It wasn't like you're just in a strange bed in a strange house in a generic way. It's literally you felt like you were there.
Yes.
And there is no understanding that it was actually a dream until... Later on, I went, oh, well, it must have been a dream. It couldn't have been real.
Because I can't find the snake. That's wonderful, and that's beautifully described, and you're correct. And again, just for our listeners, if you get that feeling that Vashti describes so beautifully there, where you're trying to wake up, even if it's in a dream and you don't know you're dreaming, but you're trying to move, or you're trying to wake up within the dream, and you feel pinned down, it's often due to exactly that, the physiological conditions of the body that try to keep you safe, that try to keep you from getting up and acting out your dream, rushing after people with daggers, jumping out of windows, leaping off of mountaintops. Your body is physiologically keeps you in a state where your muscles can't really move, your movement muscles. So you are actually immobilized. But if you're part of your brain, due to the chemicals that you researched beautifully there, Vashti, if part of your brain actually starts to wake up while part of your brain is still asleep, the part of your brain that's waking up wants to move and finds that it can't and gets really panicky and frightened. And the part of your brain that is still asleep and dreaming is still continuing the dream, hence the snake or whatever else is happening in your dream. And the part of yourself that is awake starts to go often into fear and panic mode for obvious reasons. And so then your body will produce all the stress hormones and adrenaline, and the heart will beat and everything gets really panicky. So that's the physiological basis behind it. And you're correct. And I love the way that you described that, because it wasn't a totally surreal dream and then you're waking up out of it and that's obviously that was a dream, because everything was exactly as it was in your bedroom apart from the snake, it gets really scary there. So the interesting thing then is, you know, different people in different circumstances might have had that last part of the dream. And some people might have imagined or dreamt as a snake across their chest holding them down. Another person might have dreamt of a person sitting on holding them down. You know, different people's dreaming minds would have introduced a different symbol to symbolize that feeling of being held down. So when we get to that bit in your dream, we're going to zoom in on the snake symbol and ask, wonder why it was a snake? Okay, because that's the dreaming part of your brain doing that. Mm-hmm. The reason why the rest of your bedroom was exactly as it is and you had the same feeling when you were small as a child may have been that you were more awake than dreaming, slightly more into the lucid dreaming, and therefore were consciously aware, I'm in my room and it looks like this, okay? But the part of your dreaming brain was going, yeah, but there's a snake on your chest. So we'll come back to that, but let's go back to the beginning. I love it. The baby, do you know whether it was a boy or a girl?
Oh, no, it was a generic baby, okay. You know, just a genderless baby, yep.
Okay, that's great. And any idea what kind of age it was, just a gut feel?
3 months old, I'd say.
Okay, mm-hmm. That's lovely and confident, beautiful. and the shopping centre you were in, did you have any idea what kind of shopping centre it was or anything about it, or why you were there, how it was that you ended up in the parents' room?
No, I don't, because I don't actually have children, so it's not like it would have been a real life baby. It was just a dream baby. Though I would find it a very generic sort of shopping centre, like, a, you know, one of the Westfields in Brisbane, you know, that sort of idea. Yeah, like a relatively new, you know, sort of shopping centre.
Relatively new. Okay, that's great. And have you ever been in a parent's room in the shopping centres?
Yeah, I have, I guess. Yeah.
So I'm just looking for your association to it, Vashti. Why would you go in? Why in the past? What has induced you to go into the parents' room? Just have a look, or
oh, this sounds a bit sneaky.
Yeah, I know. Use the toilet when there's a queue somewhere else. Shall I say it for you? Is that what you do?
But yeah, and then there's obviously, you know, quite often not very many people in the parents' room. So you can sort of use it without getting in anyone's way.
That's great. I'm sure you're not the only person. I'm sure we've all done that. But it's really important to get your association with it for the dream, so that we know what it means. So one of the possible things that the parents' room in the dream may represent is being able, as you said, not getting in anyone's, no one getting in your way.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just writing it down. No one getting in your way, which I'm also thinking, like, no one blocking you. You know, free access, which is quite interesting when the toilet kind of gets blocked with all the toilet paper. Yeah.
Yes.
Because it's quite interesting, I'm just taking a note too, I can't multitask here. it's really interesting that one of the good things to go into when you're looking at a dream, and it doesn't work for all dreams, but it does for a lot of them, is to go and try to find pairs of opposites. And they may be obvious, like you may have a dream where everything is either tall or small, you know, or hateful and loving, or, you know, maybe obvious, but sometimes you've got to look a bit closer to them. And that could be one, that feeling of, I'll go to the parents' room because nobody will be in my way, I won't get blocked. And yet the toilets are somehow blocked with the toilet paper. We will come to that. So there's a, am I blocked? Am I not blocked? Which may or may not be relevant to the interpretation.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the baby is 3 months old, so it could be that, unless you've got any particular association to babies that are 3 months, have you?
No. I don't think so.
Okay. That baby probably represents something that's, at the time of the dream, had been in your life for about 3 months.
Mm-hmm.
That you were, in a sense, nurturing, or not. that had started 3 months beforehand, and that you were either nurturing or supposed to be nurturing or looking after in some kind of way.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe particularly having felt a little bit blocked and be wanting to find a way of unblocking and moving on with this thing. And the way that you described the that the baby, as a, it wasn't male or female, I don't know, it was kind of a generic baby, and the shopping centre as a generic shopping centre, unless generic is just one of your words that you tend to use at the moment, is it?
No, I don't think so.
Oh, good. That's good. Well, when a person's describing a dream, the unconscious mind will often join in and give lots of clues. So this thing that's been in your life for about 3 months may be generic in itself. In other words, I guess by generic you mean not really specific. What do you mean by generic?
Yes, really? Sort of like a general idea of something. So not unique or individual, but when you explain something, there's many of them.
Yes.
An outline. Mm.
Okay, so a general idea, not unique or individual. It's more like an outline. That's what you said. So this thing that's been in your life for about 3 months may, rather than being a specific and unique and original idea or project or whatever, feels to you, it within your own judgment, something that's it's a general idea. It's not unique or individual. I can't read my last word now.
An outline.
It's an outline. That's right. That's a key word. It's an outline. So you may have come up with an idea or been given a project or been thinking about a new way to be in the world. It could be anything at all that's been around for about 3 months prior to that dream. So we're really going back 4 months now. Mm-hmm. That feels to you like an outline for something that's you want to grow, because that's what a baby is, something that grows, an outline that you want to grow. Part of your blockage may be, without even looking at the rest of the dream, but we will, part of your blockage may be, but I want to be unique, and this is kind of generic. It's not, because you're saying, oh, it's not unique, it's general, it's not individual. So your blockage may be, or even earlier than that, because generic can be very, very good, particularly in a commercial sense.
Yes.
You know, there's pluses for being generic and there's pluses for being totally unique, and there's negatives for both as well, as we, you know. So my feeling is that you may be, I've got this thing, it's an outline, it's pretty generic, it's not unique, it's not individual. How do I feel about this? Kind of, I can't decide whether I'm blocked on it or whether I want to just unblock it. I've kind of cleared the way. I'm going to use the parents' room. I'm getting ahead of everything. I'm not going to be blocked on this, but oops, I am. There's the baby in the toilet.
Oh, goodness.
I love that that whoever blocked the toilet, as I understand it, correct me if I'm wrong, Vashti, they didn't put the baby like head down in the toilet. They kind of made a nest for it with the toilet paper. The baby could still breathe. Is that right?
Yes. So the baby was like, there was water underneath the baby, but there was all this, and it was dirty water, which made it even more disgusting to get that visual image. But it was all this white toilet paper that literally was like nesting in the toilet bowl. Mm. And then they just placed the baby in it. So it wasn't really in any danger, unless you think about germs, but it wasn't in any danger. It was just sort of placed carefully in this toilet paper nest.
Okay, so the baby itself was actually clean.
Yes,
in
yes.
Its nest, yeah. And the toilet paper was nice and white and looked quite, the toilet paper itself looked quite pure.
Yes, yes. The toilet water, though, that was behind it did look filthy and disgusting. Mm. But, the baby in itself. So it was sort of like, When I went to get the baby out of the toilet, I had this more of an annoyance of someone, you know, why would they do something, you know, and get the baby out? But there wasn't any fear or danger associated with the baby's welfare.
Okay, that's great. Mm. So what you've got there is possibly another set of opposites, blocked and unblocked, pure and clean and filthy and disgusting. but as you say, that it was more a kind of objective question of yours. Why would anyone do that? And you were able to get the baby out without any fear and without any consequences to the baby. So it's kind of more, although it was gross, it's more observational than anything. So there may be that this outline or this idea that you are considering, that you're blocked or not blocked, not sure, is actually quite safe, and you do feel quite confident, and you don't really have a lot of fear about it. It's more an observation. But you are, and it's nesting, you know, there's that feeling of the nest. So you're providing a maternal nester, a place for this idea to grow. But what you're noticing is that beneath that is something that you really don't like, that it's filthy and disgusting. We don't know what it is. We'll find out about that. Now, again, as with all dream, everybody's dream, the dream is a reflection of our own conscious and unconscious mind. So it's our own judgment of our lives and our ideas. You know, this is not it, Vashti, but you might have an idea and think, oh, that's disgusting. And someone else might look at your idea and go, that's brilliant. You know, so our dreams are reflecting not what actually is, but our own perception of something. So there's this feeling with your outline or generic idea that there's a bit of a conflict within you about, is this pure and wonderful and something I can really look after, or is the background to this something that I'm really don't quite like, something that I feel is a bit disgusting or filthy, and we will explore and work out what that is.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And the fact that the dream kind of goes on repeat there, that's a dream will often, if there's time, a dream will often go on a kind of either direct repeat, as you had, baby out, baby in, baby out, baby in. Or you often see in dreams, and on some of the podcast shows, you'll see where a similar kind of theme repeats, but the symbols are different, you know, but it's kind of like we're really going round the circle. Your dream in mind has just gone straight to the point and gone, Vashti, we're just on this kind of recurring thing here. Have you noticed? Have you noticed? Have you noticed? Have you noticed? And it may even be, well, I'll ask you, any idea how many times a baby was in and out of the toilet?
Two or three.
So it may, as well as being just a recurring motif, it may be that within this 4 months that you have trashed the baby two or three times, or not so much trashed as become aware of this disgusting underlayer that you're not so sure about. And it may specifically be this has happened two or three times within this 4 months, or it may have happened two or three times during your life with similar projects or things. Mm-hmm. And it's like the dream, rather than being a motif, is saying, look, this is how many times this happened before. Are we going to do this again?
Yeah.
All right. So I will ask you, just before we go on, you don't have to go into any details, but before we go to the forest bit, which will help us to explore it further, is this ringing bells at the moment?
Yes, it is, actually. It is.
Oh, that's really good. Because there's also that kind of cliche that I think I used a little bit there, but some in the toilet. You know, we literally sometimes talk about things being in the toilet when we're, you know, it's going down the tubes, it's not really working too well, it's gone down the toilet. So, you know, there may be that kind of thing there too. Mm-hmm. But let's take a deep breath, fresh air, and go into the forest, shall we?
Yes, a much nicer place than a public toilet, parents' room.
Yeah. So I do believe these dreams are interconnected in some way. So let's just regard, let's follow on and see how we go with this. Often, if we sleep for a full 8 hours, we will normally have about 5 separate dreaming periods during the night, with maybe other little ones thrown in. So you can have 4 or 5 kind of dreams. But even when we do that, if you were able to look at all the dreams that you remember in one night, they're more often than not all connected to the same theme, because, you know, your dreaming brain is doing a really good job of trying to process the last couple of days. And usually there's one overriding issue which it's trying to look at from all different angles. So they are generally on topic. If it was one dream and it's like part one was the toilet, and then, you know, your dreaming brain just went straight on to part two, the forest, and then part three, waking up, we would look at it more as, well, this is the situation, baby down the toilet. Let's see how we problem solve this in the forest, and let's go to resolve this. But you kind of woke up. But in any case, we'll let's go to the forest. When do you go to the forest? What are your feelings about forests?
Well, I grew up in the bush, actually. And while this was more of a European style forest with big sort of trees really close together, I would say that I spent a lot of time in the bush as a child, and you know, in the Australian forests.
Mm.
And so it's somewhere where I feel very at home and safe.
Mm. Yes, at home and safe. You use the word safe quite a lot in today. You know, at the end of when you finished describing the original dream and you woke up from the snake, you said, you know, once I got my head round it, I was at home and I felt safe. When you were talking about the baby, you were saying used it in some context. I forget exactly which. Either the baby was safe.
Baby was safe. Yeah.
And now you're saying that the forest is somewhere where you feel safe.
Mm.
So again, there is a feeling of safety there, and the fact that our exploring of your dream is bringing up the word safe indicates that the dream is also exploring your feelings of what is safe and what is not safe.
Mm-hmm.
It's a baby sitting on a nest of toilet paper and a dead toilet. Safe or not? Not sure.
Oh, dear.
And of course, you know, one of our prime motivators or you know, throughout life in many circumstances, do I feel safe here or not? And usually we want to feel safe. Of course we want to feel safe. Sometimes we act to stay safe when actually it's an illusion that we're safe. You know, we stay in comfort zone, in other words, rather than being, oh, I'm going to take a step and do something completely different and it doesn't feel safe. And you take the step and go, oh, this is good. This is great. This is what I needed to do, you know. So mm-hmm. safe is not necessarily, it's good to feel safe, but our idea of what is safe can be limiting. Other bigger things can also be safe. So your dream may be exploring that. Your dream may be exploring genuine safety, genuine danger. You know, are you going to step into something which is not safe and not good for you? And your dreaming brain trying to alert you to this. Or it could be looking at, are you keeping things safe when unnecessarily at the moment, when actually you would be safe by taking a few risks?
Mm-hmm,
but
yes.
We'll look at that too, okay. So at the moment, the forest is a place that where you, even though it's a European forest, it's a place where you feel at home and you feel particularly safe, so this is really good. What kind of, was the idol that you took with you, was the pagan Pan? I know you were going to meet the pagan Pan,
there wasn't anyone there, so I was alone, but it was the god Pan, like it was a little idol or a doll, and you could see sort of, it was quite crude in some ways. It was sort of brown, and you could sort of see the horns and the suggestion of a face and a body. And it was, I was holding it in my hand, so it fit quite nicely into my hands.
Yes, yeah. So it fitted nicely into your hands. So you felt comfortable holding the idol then?
Yes, yes. Mm. Like it was an extension of who I was in a way.
That's beautiful. And it would be being that close to your hands and feeling comfortable as an extension. So if you, in the dream, you felt that the pagan Pan was an extension of who you were. So mm-hmm. what kind of energy do you feel that the pagan Pan in your dream represented? What is this extension of yourself that you saw in the dream? How would you describe it?
Well, a wild energy. So, my sort of understanding of him is sort of like a wild frolicking and not necessarily listening to any, you know, sort of left brain ideas of right and wrong, you know, the sort of modern laws or modern rules or sort of human understanding. It's sort of very alien in some ways. He was just interested in sort of being in the moment and sort of partying and enjoying where he was and the people that he was with.
Mm. Great, that's beautiful. That is lovely. And how much of that would you say is in your life at the moment?
I think I could do with more of it.
Good. Now that's why you were in the forest, my dear. But so what really interested me there, though, you know, I got a really good feeling about you being in the forest, Vashti, and all of that, which is wonderful. And as you say, you were going in to complete a pagan ritual, which was obviously around those things. And then you said the ritual was with blood and nature, but you said it was confronting.
Well, yes, it was sort of starting to sort of go off into, I don't know, maybe something more satanic, you know, sort of a bit icky feeling because it was, maybe it just got a bit too wild, you know, too much wild energy, too much sexual energy, too much, you know, sort of craziness. So that's sort of at the end, it sort of started to feel a bit out of control, but sort of going in, it felt a bit, sort of nicer and more fun, but then sort of at the end of the dream it started to get these sort of undertones of too much chaos.
Okay, that's great. I know it didn't feel great to you, but I'm just taking a couple of notes. Oh, that's great. Oh, I like that. So there you've got that lovely feeling on the one level, Vashti, of this is something that I want to do. I do want more of this wild energy, this frolicking, not listening to my left brain and the judgment of what is right or wrong, not necessarily going with the modern laws. I want more in the moment, more parting, more enjoying. And yet the feeling in the dream, if I take this too safe, my own self is still saying, and maybe my left brain is still saying, oh, but that's a bit too far. That's getting a bit satanic. That's getting, as you said in your own words, it's getting a bit too wild, a bit too sexual, a bit too, whatever that last word is that I wrote down there. I'm starting to write better in these.
Yeah, like, control.
Yeah. So, and that is kind of like a parallel to this feeling of what is safe and what is dangerous. Where am I safe? Where is the comfort zone when I step over it?
Mm.
Is my dreaming brain saying to me, I'm processing all this stuff, and maybe that's somewhere you don't want to go. Maybe you can enjoy all this stuff and find where your line is. Maybe your dreaming mind is saying that. Or maybe your dreaming mind is saying, you could, you know, I know you fear taking this too far, but maybe you could, maybe it will be all right. And so that's the question there. What is safe? What is dangerous? How much risk can you take? If by bringing all this extra energy into your life, is that a good thing? Is it a bad thing? How much of it do you want? Where is it going to lead? And fortunately, it leads us back into the first part of the dream, which is where we're going to go. We'll come to the snake part later. We're going to go back first.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So I love the feeling that you said at the end there that there was in the dream, where it began to get confronting was when you knew you were going for the pagan ritual and it was going to be with blood and nature and it was maybe going to feel satanic.
Mm-hmm. Right?
Blood and nature is not a far cry from the dirty toilet.
Yes.
The dirty toilet, which does definitely receive nature and sometimes blood as well.
Mm-hmm.
And then you also said, well, there's a feeling of in the forest of going into this more satanic thing, which has got undertones of whatever that word is that I wrote down that I can't read. What was it? A chaos. Undertones of craziness and chaos. Undertones. Look back to the first part of your dream. You've got the baby sitting in the toilet paper nest and underneath that.
Oh, yes.
Yeah, the undertone. Mm-hmm. Filthy and disgusting undertone, blood and nature, satanic, sexual, where along that sexuality line in your dreaming and unconscious mind do you cross the line between what is natural and good and pan-pagan and what is filthy and disgusting, whether or not it is that, where is that line? And also, as you said, crazy and chaos, you know, how comfortable do you feel with steps that you may take in this wild direction, where might you cross that line where you call you judge yourself as crazy, or that you're concerned that other people would judge you as crazy? How do you feel about chaos? Where's the line? Are you comfortable with chaos, or is there a line over which you go, that's too chaotic, I want to bring it back from there?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
All right. So these are some of the reasons and issues why the baby might be in and out of the toilet. So before asking you what it is, I just want to go quickly to that last bit of the dream. I feel in that last one where you're trying to wake up in the bed, you're probably trying to get out of the dream, Vashti, trying to wake up from it. Like,
yes.
I want to get out of this. And so it's the snake that's across your chest. Any idea what kind of snake?
Oh, it was definitely a python, because in that day before I was dreaming, there was a python, like a real life in the house. Python had been there that week.
Ah.
And so it was kind of like, if that's kind of the link to the real world, that it really was a python. Like, they're not dangerous or venomous, but they can get, you know, he was, you know, starting to get anaconda-sized. He was really large, you know, in my dream.
Yeah, okay, that's lovely. So in a sense, in that last part of the dream where everything was exactly as it is in your home, apart from the snake, in a sense, the snake has actually been a part of your home. So it was in context. So it might have been that your dreaming brain certainly went off, feeling across my chest, oh, God, maybe that python's back. So it could be that. There's also that feeling that, you know, that you said that the... a python can, well, I'm saying a python can kind of strangle you. It works by constricting around you and restricting you. But yes, that's what you said. You said a python isn't venomous, it's not dangerous unless it squeezes you to death, which they don't do in Australia. Even so, I still don't want to see a python. But anyway, so again, it's this safety. What is safe? What is not safe? So the python has this feeling of something in the dream was huge and frightening because you were actually physiologically in panic mode trying to wake up. So, you know, it was a frightening symbol, but it actually wasn't a dangerous symbol. It's a symbol of something that looks frightening but actually isn't. So we're back to that. What is safety? What is danger? So... without actually, I've raised a lot of the issues by sort of reading your dream there. I haven't actually got to the stage of talking with you about what you might do with these. But would you like to respond now as to, in as much as you'd like to share in front of all these people, how it relates to your life and how you feel about this?
Yes, well, actually, in the last 3 months, a lot of changes has happened in my life. And literally, you know, I think to the day, 3 months as well from the dream, because I was looking at the dates in my calendar. And sort of 3 months in, because when I was talking about the baby going in out 2 or 3 times,
yes,
3 months in was when, you know, a sort of an issue arose. And then 2 months in, it happened, you know. So it was sort of, so it was really interesting that I said both 2 and 3 because that's what happened. So there's been a lot of changes in my life, and I think some of them are kind of leading in what you could describe as a bit wild and chaotic and not organized and sort of planned out. And so it is really interesting that these all quite kind of relate to each other. When I was looking at the dream, you know, because I do try to analyze my own dreams and work with them, you know, myself, as you know, that I just couldn't bring them all together. They was just so far out of what I could find and understand.
that's really great, Fasti. How about the feeling of this? Well, you've now said the changes from 3 months ago. The feeling of them being generic or outlined and not unique. How does that relate?
I'm not really sure how that relates, other than I think I haven't made these changes my own. I haven't put my own individuality on them yet. I think it perhaps is more, when I also think of generic, I think of, like, you know, if you're buying a generic brand supermarket, it means you're buying something plain or something standard. You don't have sort of the fancy extras, I don't know, for want of a better term. So I was thinking perhaps that is more the way I understand what's happening in my life at the moment, is it sort of a very general outline, and I haven't sort of found those unique bits that I want to sort of, you know, make in my life and in my decisions.
Yes.
So I think that's how it relates. The wording is sort of similar but different.
Yes. Now that makes a lot of sense, and it kind of relates to the feeling of being in a shopping centre in the dream. And you've said, you know, how if you go shopping, it's like you get generic plain stuff as well. Yeah, that's really, and the feeling of being blocked or maybe blocking yourself on this.
Well, I feel that I've been working through a lot of blockages of myself, sort of sabotage, actually working through things. And I don't know how effective it's been, but I've just been really interested in not making the same mistakes that I've made in the past and actually living a more valid lifestyle to me and what is important to me.
Definitely. So these are all really, you know, for you to already be consciously doing that, saying, okay, I'm making sure in as much as I can that I'm not sabotaging myself, that I don't want to make the same mistakes as the past, which may in itself be also the baby going in and out of the water, as well as you beautifully identified there, the 3 month and the 2 month, the 2 to 3 times, not wanting to make the same mistakes as the past and wanting to live something more valid. So you're consciously aware of those, and your dreaming brain will then explore those very important issues more deeply and will bring up, if there's any unconscious objections, your dreaming mind will certainly bring them up for you to be more aware of, which is exactly what you need to do. Because if you've got an unconscious saboteur, hey, you don't know about it, do you? It's unconscious.
That's right.
So whenever something's really important, and this can be what appears to be paradoxical about dreams, it's often that when things are really starting to change and go for the better, and I hear what you say, these changes at the moment are a bit wobbly for you and you haven't quite got your unique stamp on them, but you're trying to get everything right for it. But even when you're further ahead than that, you've got like, right, I really got this. This is exactly what I want. I'm making these big changes. Life is feeling really positive. It's feeling fantastic. That is a really yucky dream. Why did I have to dream that? That is often when all this wonderful conscious, yes, this is what I'm going to do. And they're often really great things and great ideas and places one should go. But they, in your, when your dreaming mind gets to process that, it's showing you the unconscious stuff, which is in opposition to that. And that's a very valuable thing, because you can then go, oh, hi, I didn't know that. So let's do some dream alchemy. Let's reprogram those negative unconscious beliefs, or let's transform them, or let's heal some stuff down there that I haven't healed. So you're basically liberating yourself from the unconscious opposition to what you have already consciously decided to go ahead with. So that's why we can often have these really horrible, upsetting dreams just when we've got our life organized. So I say to you, and I say to everyone listening in, when you get those dreams, sometimes you have those dreams because that's what life's like. It's like it's going down the toilet. So you have going down the toilet dreams. You go, yes, I get it. It's reflecting my life. But on a much bigger scale, it's often these kind of dreams come up because you are actually making a very big positive move, or you're asking yourself the right questions, even though you haven't quite, as you say, like you haven't got your unique stamp on it, or haven't quite worked out the validity of what it is that you want to go forward. But those are the right questions and those are the right goals to have. And that's when the dream will go, okay, right, all right, all right, you win. I'll show you what I've got in my hand down here. So I feel that's what's going on for you at the moment.
Mm-hmm.
So if we were, would you like to respond at this stage? Is anything coming up for you?
Oh, yes, I think it's all really on track in a way that I didn't really expect at all.
Okay, that's lovely. So I guess one of there's lots of alchemy we can do, which we'll come to later, but your main questions here are, well, okay, we're looking at the underside, which is what is filthy and disgusting, what are the undertones? Mm-hmm. So I guess if you want to really go in deep, I'd be looking at, you say you don't want to make the past mistakes again. I'd be looking back at some of the things that you regard as having been past mistakes. Mm-hmm. Although, of course, we all learn from our mistakes. So, hey, what is a mistake? What is not a mistake? But go back and look at those things and ask yourself the question, what did I feel were the filthy and disgusting undertones?
Yeah.
All right. Because those are the things that you're trying to avoid this time. So it may be genuinely that there were filthy and disgusting undertones that you really don't want to have in your life, or it may be that you need to go into that, what you have previously judged as filthy and disgusting, and cleanse it and purify it. You know, there might be something that you want to do that you've held back from doing before because you judged that as disgusting.
Yes.
And that judgment of disgusting may be based on some past experience that you've had where you or someone else has labelled that as disgusting. You may then, rather than sidestep that now, you may want to go back, explore that. What was it? Was it really disgusting? Yes, it was. I don't want to go there again. No, I was taught it was disgusting, or I learned an unconscious belief that was disgusting. Actually, that is somewhere that I do want to explore and go, let me clarify that. Let me purify. Let me transform that judgment of disgusting, or that judgment of filthy, into a different judgment or perception, because that's where I want to go. So that's why. So I would do that, Vashti, in your own time, is go back and explore those things. Where did those things come from? Look specifically at the past mistakes you've made and your own judgments or other people's judgments of filthy and disgusting, crazy, chaotic, all the things you mentioned there, wildly sexual, over the line, icky. Just have a look at those and make, it's still making a conscious judgment, but just make a new and fresh conscious judgment, bearing your dream in mind about, how do I really feel about this? And then, because that's important to know, where is that line? As you're basically saying, I've got something generic, it's plain. I still want to add the fancy extras. I want to add the unique bits. I've had these changes in my life, but it's still generic. I want to make it mine. I want to add unique bits. I want to make it more valid according to whatever it is that you want to make valid in your life. So by going back, not to become a victim, not to wallow in the toilet water, but just going back in order to understand where these perceptions have come from, so that you can come forward and decide how far you want to push that line, or how far you want to step over the line, exploring your feelings of safety and danger as well. And also explore, maybe in a poetic or artistic way, what wild means to you. You know, when you say wild energy, what pagan means to you in particular, because obviously it's something that's very close to you, because you're holding the pagan pan in your hands and actually feels good until it feels bad. So, you know, what is wild? You know, some people would say wild is 100% good. Wild is going back to nature. You know, and other people would say wild, as you've suggested, can be chaotic and out of control. Maybe there's more of a sense of balance that's required. So explore in an artistic way, almost as a dream alchemy yourself. What does wild energy mean to me? How much of that is valid to where I am, and how much of that is coloured by my past or by judgments? At the end of the day, you know, as I always try to bear in mind when we explore a dream, And every dream is different, and every approach is different, and every life solution is different. But I think at the end of the day, one of the most valuable things we can do is to go for that, no matter where our spirituality or our religion is to go for that feeling of the middle path, the Tao, you know, neither too Goldilocks, you know, neither too sweet, neither too sour, but just in the middle, neither too wild, neither too just in the middle, 50% left brain, 50% right brain. I can step this way, I can step that way. They've each got their... They know that maybe there's the chaos of the right brain, maybe there's the excessive order of the left brain, maybe halfway in between, you've got a nice little balance that you can work with there. You know, I find often at least considering the balance between two opposites can take you to a good place, can be quite a freeing thing to do.
Yes.
So there's that. But valid. Are you able to share with us, and don't if you feel it's too private, being a public podcast, but what ideas you may have about what that feeling of being valid to you actually means? Valid in what sense?
I think it relates to making your own ideas as opposed to just following the crowd. So the ideas of people, you know, either through the media or through figures of importance in your life that sort of say, well, this is how you should live your life, in ways of, you know, these are the type of people you should be with, these are the type of friends you should have, this is the type of job you should have. I think to me, just following along with what you're told is not really living your own sort of valid life. It's just following what you're told, as opposed to finding out what I truly want out of my, you know, relationships, my job, my life, my hobbies, in a very overall way, and then crafting the life that I want to lead, as opposed to just following, you know, the common stereotypes.
Yeah, that's beautiful. If everyone followed you like sheep, they'd all end up in a much better place, Vashti. and that, as you've described it, that I guess that's the ultimate place where we get that feeling of what is safe and what is dangerous, you know, stepping out of the norm, or stepping out of into an area where you feel good about what you're doing, but, you know, you feel that you may suffer the judgment of everybody else that you know. and the media. So it's that safety risk thing. But you don't get there unless you take the risks.
That's right.
You know, that's almost a definition of being unique, isn't it? Unique, well, that just means it's just me, actually, on my own. So if you're going to be unique, you know, what's the worst that can happen? Well, you're on your own. Is that what you want? No, you don't want to be on your own. But, you know, it's the worst that can happen is that you have a different idea and a different way of being from everyone else. That's the worst that can happen. And that's far from ideal, but it's not a bad thing. It's you can kind of work back from there and find a middle path. But I think that's running through your dream is that safety versus risk. Maybe something that you want to explore there, that you feel in order to become valid and live a valid lifestyle and identify those things and craft the life that you would want, you would like to lead, you're feeling that has taken you out of what consciously and unconsciously you regard as safe. So it's, you know, how do I feel and encourage myself to take bigger risks than I already have, because you wouldn't have reached this point in your understanding about life if you hadn't already taken lots of big risks. But obviously you're thinking about taking bigger ones. So it's exploring all of that as well. And that blocking of the baby, the changes of a generic baby, it is that feeling of, you know, now knowing what you're saying, I've got this life, this thing that I'm trying to craft, which is the baby, but it's still generic, so I keep tossing it out. Because of the filthy undertones of what my life's going to be like if I really make something of this. So I'd play with those ideas, and I'd love to give you a dream alchemy to help with this. Have you got any ideas yourself? Because I know you're really great at dream analysis and dream alchemy and working with your dreams, and I know that you're a fabulous artist as well. I can set you something, but given everything we've discussed, is something jumping out at you that you would like to do to further this?
I did actually kind of think something, because when I was first thinking about how I would interpret this dream, it just stumped me what alchemy practice I could bring to it. But while we've been talking, I was thinking of actually somehow taking the baby into the forest. But I wasn't really sure how I would achieve that, but I thought taking it into this beautiful, clean, sort of natural environment was sort of out of that contrast of, you know, sort of grey supermarket, you know, tiled steel, all that sort of stuff, taking it into this sort of more growth and freedom of the forest.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So, you know, you could say that the supermarkety side of things, the way you've described it there with the hard lines, is left brainish, and the forest with its openness, and it's going back to pagan gods as the kind of right brainish. So by taking a symbol from the left into the right, you're then looking for that sense of balance. And so I would definitely do that in some kind of art form. Maybe Michael's telling me that we've got to wrap in 5 minutes because of the length of the podcast. But I love the feeling of the pagan god idol being in your hand. So maybe even to take the baby in your hand, make it so that she or he is light to carry. And if it becomes confusing, you could even make them twins, a girl and a boy, so you've got that balance in the babies as well. But you don't have to do that, but that's just an idea. Because you may, as you go through the dream alchemy, start to go, well, is this a boy or a girl I'm holding because I'm trying to take this baby with me here?
Well, because Pan is male energy, and so it could work really well with the baby if that was a female energy.
Yes, beautiful. Mm. And because the pagan god Pan will be hopefully more gentle around the female baby as well. But yeah, take them in your two hands, take both into the forest in some sense within your art. And the other thing that's occurring to me, I don't quite know how you do it, is some kind of altar isn't the right word, but some kind, not a sacrificial altar, but some kind of altar as in a devotional altar within the forest.
Something that you would pray to.
So that within that you can kind of set up not necessarily safety within the altar, but definitely safe in a different way, not safe in a restricted way, but safe in a, this is not a dangerous space, this is a praying devotional all is good space, and what you're doing by that, but bringing the two symbols, the baby and Pan, into the lovely, fresh and open forest space, is then also beginning to put the elements or explore through your art the elements of what you do want into your life, so you can begin to craft that in a valid way. You're taking that baby right out of the generic and into the unique, which is your version of the pagan Pan in the forest, because that symbol of the forest is very much you. It's where you're at home.
Mm. Oh, well, that's really lovely. I feel really good about that.
That's great. I don't want to be the snake around your chest and restrict your vision of the dream alchemy. I know that you can explore this in ways that will work out for you, and to ask, you know, and as you do it, ask yourself the questions that we've looked at in today's exploring. And also, Vashti, as always, you know, when you deeply work with one dream, be interested in what dreams come up, you know, in the week or two that follow, because they will be commenting
on the work that you've done. Yes.
Yeah. Oh, that's what a wonderful dream. Thank you very much for being a wonderful guest today.
Oh, thank you so much for having me. It's been really enlightening, and I really love it.
Thank you. We do too. And I think I'm just going to get out of this room and go and take a walk in a forest now. Thank you, Vashti.
Thanks.
Yeah, that wasn't as gross as you thought it was going to be, was it? Absolutely stunning dream. I love it. And I'd really just like to emphasize that again, that feeling that sometimes it's the horrible, disgusting dreams can come up because that's what you think of your life at the time. And even when you think of that and your life's horrible and disgusting and you get a horrible and disgusting dream, it is so worth looking at it because it can get you out of that horrible, disgusting feeling and into a much better place. But it's when you make those great, big, huge changes, or when you're on the verge of them and you're going through major transformation and making really positive changes, that your unconscious mind can deliver these really gross and horrible dreams, because it is that feeling of, okay, I'm surrendering the stuff that you don't want to know about your unconscious. And it's really great for you to know this, because this frees you, this liberates you to truly go through transformational processes and get to a better place. Oh, I just love the feeling of walking in the forest. I think I really want to go and do that. I hope you enjoyed the show. If you did, let me know. Maybe you want to volunteer to be a guest on the Dream Show. Maybe you want to just simply share the Dream Show link with other people who might get as much out of it as you did, not only from learning about the interpretation or the analysis process, learning about the dream alchemy process, so that you can understand your own dreams more clearly, but also, just as we often do, I think, in these podcasts, learn something about life in general just from listening to a guest and what they're going through and what their dream's going through. There are some generic things that we can all benefit from in amongst this. So do share. The next episode, episode 164, is due out on the 1st of May 2015, if you're listening to this in real time. If you want to go back and listen to all the other 160-plus episodes, go to janeteresa.com and click on podcasts or click on the Dream Show, and they're all there. Or the last 10 episodes are always on iTunes. So those addresses again, janeteresa.com or janeteresaanderson.com, where you can purchase books, e-books, consultations, mentoring, all sorts of stuff, or generally plod around in the blog and find lots of free resources and articles to learn even more. Have a lovely month. Thank you for listening to yet another episode of The Dream Show. I'm Jane Teresa Anderson.
The Dream Show is a production of Jane Teresa Anderson for the Lifestyle Pod Network. You can find more great podcasts like this one in the Lifestyle Pod Network section of iTunes.